capes eat free.
Bum, bum, ba, bum, ba, da, ba, ba, da.
Oh, maybe we should do like an intro what? Song.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Na 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 capes eat free.
Yo, hey. Yo, what's up, capers? This is Chris, the Film School Dropout, and you're listening to Capes Eat Free on TV. It's a segment of the podcast where we have an in-depth discussion about superhero-based TV shows. So I usually bring on some special guests who have seen the show. And today's special guests are Mark, a.k.a. Professor M. Sometimes we let them make up their own names. Because I'm Bryce Man, or Bryce. And we have that, a.k.a. not Edward Furlong. Capes Eat Free on TV.
One of the TV shows that I really liked was on Amazon called The Boys. It's, you know, it's kind of anti, I mean, it's a superhero show, but it's not this traditional superhero show. Technically, it's an anti-superhero show. And these guys are fans of the show in some capacity.
I'm going to tell you guys what happened to me. I watched The Boys. Okay, first, I read
what happened first?
The comics.
Oh, see, first I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, okay.
I knew we were going to have one.
I was way into it. I thought, dude, this is going to be an incredible IP.
How and old were you was. When you read the comics?
Like an IP address? Or
no,
like...
it didn't come out. I'd say, check me on this, but I think The Boys came out in early 2000s, like right around after Preacher.
It was a comic book.
From 2006 to 2012, guys.
2006, yeah. And so then I watched this show. And I was a big fan. But then I watched Bloodline and watched Mendelsohn and Kyle Chandler in Bloodline and then went back to review The Boys. And The Boys is not a perfect show.
Well, no. The Boys is not a perfect show. Mr. Bryce, man, you liked it? You didn't like it?
I thought it was an enjoyable series. I watched it pretty quickly. Probably within the course of a week. I just thought it was a lot of fun to see characters and superheroes play probably how superheroes would play if they were real life people.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like that's what I think is really cool is the idea that no, they're not perfect and they're so powerful that they can really kind of get their way and they would get their way. You know, they're like, they treat them like celebrities or sports athletes and stuff. And they have that attitude of like, they're unstoppable and they're loved by everybody because they have this persona that they play. But in real life, you know, they're despicable. And I like that layering of the characters of it. You know, normally you see like kind of, they try to layer superhero characters to make them brooding characters or something about them.
Yes.
You know, that ultimately makes them good, but this is just, no, they're just selfish individuals. And it's a really good show that reflects our times too.
I think it's a reflection of how real people would be. If you had superpowers yourself, you might say, oh, I'm going to do good things. You might be a nice person, but you're not going to take advantage of these superpowers.
Exactly.
So we've got Bryce Man really likes it. Like it's a really good show. Eddie is not in that camp.
I didn't not like it. I just felt like even on that point, I feel like there is an innate collateral damage with any superhero, regardless of their moral compass. Like, look at Man of Steel. Like, how much how many casualties would have been like how many lives would there have been in that final fight? And that had nothing to do with moral. That just had to do with the fact that these guys are like gods. Mm-hmm. And when you're a mere mortal, you stand to get smashed if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it kind of touched on that initially and abandoned it in favor of a more, you know, morally, you know, power corrupt sort of theme. I just would have liked to have.
No, and that to me, like, because even when I watch like the Justice League cartoons or something like that, or you would see obviously in like Batman, they have these things where they don't kill, but they're bad guys are killing, So, do you find yourself responsible when you let the Joker go and he kills 20 or 30 more people? There's all this collateral damage with being a hero. I feel like in The Boys, they just didn't have the conscience to care about that. So even if they wound up killing somebody by accident, it wasn't, they were just like, oh, well, but we did this. And but I feel like
Well, the
that's
most
more real.
we're not talking about Zack Snyder Batman movies, are we?
Oh no. No, I was talking about the cartoon where they try to like
Okay,
limit the
yeah.
blood.
The other thing I want to go start with now before we get too far in is how did you discover it?
I saw promos for it and some marketing. I saw advertisements on the subway, but I could care less because for the most part, sorry, Amazon. Their shows, I don't know, they're throwaway shows to me.
Yeah.
But I had a coworker that watched it and told me how amazing it was, and it was summertime and there was not much to watch, and so I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I did like the first four episodes in one night, and I'm like, okay, yeah. And maybe it's because of lack of TV, but I thought it was all right. So
half the series in one night, all right.
that's fine. You know,
For
that's
me,
called
it was
binge
one of
TV, you
those.
know.
Yeah,
The
I
only
mean,
thing I didn't like about it is just because I live in New York City, all the non-New York City locations they tried to pass off as New York City was like all to me bullshit. Like there's never that much grass anywhere, and it was just really aggravating to see like so many just it was like Vancouver or Toronto or something, wherever the hell
Yeah.
they shot it. But it was definitely like, come on, just try to, you know, use a little bit of your CG budget and just put the skyline in. It's okay. You know, just try. So, but that's just personal, and that just it take me out of it because I'm like, this is not New York City.
Oh,
You
well,
know, so
So
maybe
somebody who's living in New York, a little spoiled.
Avengers shoots in Georgia, but yet they still spring the money for some nice visuals, you know? So,
Well, it's because
yeah,
they
you
want to blow
know.
up one-on-one park on every movie. I found out about it completely by like in-app advertising because I'd watch something else on Amazon and they're like, oh, you should do
Okay.
this. But
Like
I'm in the
an ad
same,
that
I'm
popped up
in the
on
same.
IG?
No. Like,
Okay.
other suggested, oh, you watched Man in High Castle, you should watch The Boys. That like, no. But I was really surprised when I started watching The Boys. I was like, oh, this is really good. And I had not heard of the comic book. It took me probably an episode or two before I was like, wait, this is way too complex and built out of a storyline and a universe to just be an original. This has got to be from a comic book somewhere I just haven't heard of. So I am definitely not in the comic book shopping store scene like Mr. Furlonger over there.
And did you like it or dislike it? I mean, the broad
In the
stroke.
broad context, I liked it. I thought it got a little bit odd toward the end of it. Some of the characters took some interesting turns.
Yeah, I
But
can see that.
what I will tell you, I was going through it, I'm like, this is interesting. And then I realized what my connection and why I liked it. I'm
Yeah.
a huge Eric Kripke fan, and I didn't even think about that as, him being the showrunner for this, showrunner for Supernatural, for
Oh,
Revolution, for Timeless.
okay.
So and as suddenly that was like, oh, that makes all the connections. And I was like, that's why, is because, I'm seeing the same sort of kind of ideas, his concepts. I'm a unrepentant Supernatural fan, which is an odd thing. But like Timeless was
Very odd,
great.
man.
Revolution
Supernatural
was
is awesome.
still good.
I say, yeah, no, Supernatural is like the
They're
shit. I
not
want to
done
be
yet.
clear, dude.
It's
I'm
lasting
a fan.
forever.
I come out giving The Boys a thumbs up. I want to be clear on that. I was just saying
Okay.
that
I thought
to
you were going
end
to
our
say you were
discussion
giving it
here.
something else completely. It's
Yeah, I
just,
thought you
yeah.
said you were queer. I was like,
I was like, we're going to
which
have to
is
clean this
okay.
up
No,
over
it's
here.
okay. You're queer.
On
Edward
visiting, it
Furlong, the
just
not,
didn't.
you know, it's okay, but just watch
Are
out.
you
What are you saying?
familiar with the comic,
No, I'm
Chris?
not familiar with the comic at all, actually. This is one of the
Okay.
shows that like I did not, I mean, I knew about it, but when the show came out, I didn't connect it as the comic.
After I figured out, oh my God, this is a comic, I went and looked up, more of the details of the comic book. Didn't go
Okay.
read the books, but
Yeah.
went and looked at the universe of it, what had happened, what the storyline was. I thought one of the things that was very interesting is what Kripke probably changed about the universe to make it fit
Yes,
more
that's
into
what I
the.
wanted to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. into a TV show.
I think so. Very, very deftly. The story that exists in the comic book wouldn't play. Do you guys remember when, Chris, were you with me when we went and saw Entourage, the movie?
Yes.
And do you remember how that movie came out just in time to be cool anymore? Do you remember that?
No, it came out just after the time.
Careful, Mark.
Yeah, it was just perfectly. I remember we were in the theater. I was so excited. And then I was like, man, this is kind of like.
Wait, I was in the booth. We saw that the Cinerama Dome. I was there.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, that's right. You were with us too.
Oh, snap. Dude, yeah.
The thing is, I'm only bringing that up because if you made the comic as it is, it wouldn't play well. He made a number of changes that massively benefited it as a show.
Yeah, massively. I think moving the story forward in time, getting rid of the, now we're in the spoilers phase, getting rid of some of the CIA association and making it more of a, you know, a very loose kind of bringing the boys back together idea. I think that was really deft on his part.
It's similar to what like Frank Darabont did with Walking Dead when it went from Kirkman's comic series to a TV show. Because if you read the comic book, like everyone gets along till they get eaten, and then the show, you know, they actually have depth and the characters actually have conflict, and it makes it for good TV. So, you know, similar situation.
Just give me like your overall real quick of the boys before we go into spoilers. Give me three words, three big words.
Yes, free association, Bryce.
Unexpected, entertaining, and disjointed.
Okay. Let's go, Mark.
I'll go damn good fun.
And Mr. Furlong-ish?
Penis, dolphin, airplane.
Interesting. I mean, hey.
Whoa. It's all relevant.
That's that.
It is all
spoilers
relevant.
With no context.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to change mine. Gills, dolphin, airplane.
Same thing. Maybe. I don't know. We can actually talk about that. That was a weird scene. Like, yeah. I didn't really get that. I wanted to go talk to a couple of girls after that.
Which one, the dolphin or the fingering the gills?
The fingering the gills.
We're in the spoiler section. Spoilers. Yeah. So if you want, to know more, we'll get deep
into
the boys.
This is actually a major
right
plot
now.
Point.
Yeah, it's going to get deep into the boys because, I mean, the boys is a lot deeper than the commercial.
Dude, I have not been – first of all, Chase Crawford is a very handsome dude. I mean, we have to concede this. Guys, he's such a handsome dude that I couldn't stand looking at him.
Yeah, but then he's
and
like,
dude, he won me over in this, dude. Yeah, like,
gills.
I
keep
thought,
talking.
Dude,
yeah, tell us your
I
truth.
I thought he was fantastic, dude. It's the best thing I've ever
Chase
seen.
Chase Crawford
Chase
on
Crawford
the line
do.
Right now. To...
I am, by the way, I am not the Edward Furlong. I am the Chase Crawford.
So I'll totally give you
someone
that because
fight me on
here's
that
the
one.
Thing, right? You know, I'm not going to fight you on that. I think you're right. Right? The first scene that he's in, you know, when he's doing the thing with Starlight with Annie.
Yes,
I was like,
I'm
this
interested
guy
in what you're going to say about
total
this
fucking asshole.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
And his arc to kind of get back through the redemption story, going to Cleveland. And then seeing the worst parts
just
of it.
Landlocked.
You know, and I'm just like, at the end of it, I'm like, okay, what is going to happen next with him? Like, I want to know more about his story. The whole, you know,
dude,
getting drunk and.
Making me laugh.
Rescuing the dolphin.
Yeah. Well, he's such a pathetic character after that first episode, you know, because they really just kind of, you know. He also kind of like reacted, or at least everyone treated him like really everybody should treat like Aquaman and shit like that. Like, you know, like, come on, what do? You talk to fish?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm Homelander. I fly around and I kill people with my fucking laser eyes. You know? It's like, no, you're really not that cool, dude.
No, it's great because that one scene when he goes, I got some information. I talked to my friend and you see Homelander's like, it's a porpoise.
he's just
totally demeaning him. To me, I just feel like this is. I mean, his character was this guy trying to find his place. He's he's just in the group as well, and he's just he's the kind of the producer that's like, yo, I do big things here too. Hey, you need to do this. And well, and that's what he came off as.
Why is it always going to be about the producer? Why is it always about the producer?
Because if you remove every other superhero and leave it to just the Deep, then the dude's a superhero. Like,
yes.
It's just that he's not as – he's like the Steve Kerr on the Chicago Bulls.
Is he even the best of the – is he even the worst of the seven?
If you remove every other superhero –
He's what SeaWorld brings out because they can't show whales anymore, okay? That's what he is. He's not a
superhero.
So you got Mesmer over him?
If he was the best that we had, if the best in real life, if all of a sudden there was this guy that could, like, talk to fish and, like, you know.
Yeah, swim underwater.
I guarantee you, he'd be in the news.
Look, if in real life, if someone could talk to fish right now, do you want to hear what – do you hear what a fish tell us? No, they'd be pissed at us. He would have a 300 million long list of fish ranting about how terrible we are to the oceans. Do you want to hear that? I mean, Greenpeace, that's the Deep.
Oh, you want to know something? And I think that's actually shown great in the lobster scene when he goes to Ohio and he's just he's talking to the lobster and he's like, I'm going to save you. I'm going to get you out of there. And then
I got
he goes
you,
to
dog.
Buy a lobster. And they just put a knife through his brain. It's just like it just shows how meaningless his power is.
Chase Crawford did do a great job of selling that well. Like that crawfish scene or lobster scene, dude. His timing on that was awesome. Like I burst out laughing.
Chase's performance is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He sells the patheticness of the Deep so well. You know,
I think they did a good job with the show and turning him into like you said, Mark, he's this asshole of a guy that all of a sudden at the end of it, you're like feeling sorry for because he's just being like run through the mud on the seven and he's in Ohio and he needs some redemption. You actually feel sorry for him a little bit.
Well, you could almost say that like the way he treats Stargirl. What's a star?
Starlight.
The way he treats Starlight in that first episode is like it seems like, oh yeah, he's coming from a power, but you could tell like he's just doing that because that's the only sway he has, and it's despicable what he does. But that's like all he's got in this job. You know,
and I think he's taking advantage
of it like immediately.
He knows his moment of power. That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
I think it's. It you know puts it in context very well. So Bryce, what was your favorite scene, person, actor in this? Can't say Chase now. It's taken.
No. I mean, any time when you can get like Adventures in Babysitting into a comic book movie, boom, you got it. Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, I was so upset when
she was sexy in this, but she was
smart, so you know, and she was
strong,
vindictive. It's a very strong female character. I thought she did an amazing job in this.
Well, you got to think, dude. Homelander's essentially Superman, and dude, she held him in check, dude.
Yeah,
like,
but towards the end, you saw she was afraid of him, and you realized. I mean, you could kind of see that she was afraid of him the entire time.
Well, that wasn't neat about it, is that cat and mouse between them through most of the season. Was she trying to keep her control over him and him just pushing away and doing more and more on his own to try to get what he wanted and what he wants out of the over and just to kind of eventually show her how unneeded she was in this whole situation. Yeah.
Well, the only thing I disagree with there, Bryce, is the cat and mouse metaphor in this case. There's not any suckling involved. I'd say it was more like a cow and calf situation.
Hey, you know.
You know.
Chris, did you have a character that you want to...
I'm going to go with Homelander.
Yeah?
I feel like that would be my take. There's this movie, it's a comic book series, it's just like a one-off comic book, but it's also that they made a movie out of it, an animated movie, called Red Son, which is a story of Superman growing up in Russia. Like, his ship landed in Russia, he'd become Russia, he'd be the Red Sun. I feel like Homelander is the guy who was raised by a corporation. Meaning,
that's
you know, his powers are being, his powers are just like, you know, he has all the powers in the world, but, I mean, you know, with,
no empathy.
With Elizabeth Shue keeping it in check, but there's no empathy. There's no, it's almost like a sociopath, like Dexter, if the TV show Dexter, where he has to be given these rules to live by because he doesn't actually care about anything. That's what Homelander's raised that way, to where he gets to the point where he has all his power. So he has to have like these things just to, for him to check himself by, which, you know, if you want to get deeper, I feel like it's, you know, I think that's the laws of morality that the world puts on just people in general, just so no one just murders everybody. But that's the whole concept, is like, this guy can literally do anything. He says he can do anything, but he doesn't do anything. There's that scene where Queen Maeve tells him, it's like, listen, we have all this power, why do we like jump when they say jump?
Yeah,
and they don't have a real answer for that, but they say that, and it's just like, they know they have this power. He knows he has all this power in the world to do whatever, but he thinks he's kept in check to where he believes that he does have all his power, but he doesn't use it. He doesn't use all his power.
Well, if I'm gonna,
he's still like a kid.
If I'm going to jump into that psyche, right, I'm going to say that he's much more powerful with the idea, the belief that he's all-powerful without having to prove it. And if he ever reaches that phase where he proves that he's not all-powerful, right, the whole illusion falls down and he loses his mind, basically, right? He just disappears. So maybe that's how he gets defeated, is they show him he's not all-powerful and he just kills himself.
We'll find out.
But what I will say, I don't know where Anthony Starr came from, because I don't recall seeing him, although I've seen stuff that he's been in. I just didn't put it together. If that's his actual jawline, I can't believe he's really Australian. He's got to be American with that jawline. He's like Captain America as a jaw. And it's just, if it's not prosthetics, I don't know what it is. So congratulations on Anthony Starr and your jawline. That's all I got to say.
So, Mark, who's your guy then?
Who's my here's my problem, right? You got Chase, which I get that, you know, the deep, Homelander, you know, Elizabeth Shue, completely agree with you on Adventures in Babysitting ever since then. I'm going to say that's our age showing. but, you know, look, Billy Butcher, Carl Urban, think steals the scenes that he's in. Leads the show where he's got to take it.
I don't know. He was to me is one of the weakest guys in my opinion.
You think?
He's just too over the top, and I know that's his accent. I think I don't know. It's just I don't know. I just get tired of it. I just thought he was too over the top, and Huey would have been an idiot to do anything with this guy in the first.
Well, that's where I think he, you know, I think he gets Huey involved just enough, brings him in a little bit, and then builds and builds and builds. It's like, well, no, you've already done this, so you can't back down. You got to take the next little step, right? But I think Carl Urban did a good job.
He's better when you can see the masks, when he's got a mask on his face, you know, like when he was in Dread, you know, it's like, then he works better that way, you know? So I don't know.
I look at some of the characters, right? A-Train, I think, had a couple of good scenes, a couple of good ideas, but, you know, at the end you felt kind of sorry for him because he can't seem to admit that he's the reason that he had to kill his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought that was an interesting scene there. The way they treat Black Noir, I don't know if it's insulting to me or just illustrative. Like, you have no idea what this guy does.
He's the one who didn't say nothing the whole show, right?
Yeah.
How can you?
You got no idea what his power is. In fact, this is, I think, one of the weakest things of the whole show, is there's so many people that have, like, a marginal power or some, like, I don't know what Queen Maeve's power is. It's that she's strong-ish-er.
She's just a bit stronger, that's all.
She's
indestructible. It's just a Wonder Woman knockoff.
Knockoff.
But I don't like, and so, and I heard some other story, some other comment that was like, oh, she can fly. And I'm like, no, she can't. You know, Homelander's got to
well,
carry
dude, her. I can illustrate that perfectly. I was going to get, we were going to get, I was on a date and we were going to go get dessert. And I recommended at the place we were at that we do the banana cream pie. And I said, it's kind of the Superman of their desserts. And she said, don't you mean the Wonder Woman? And I said, no. And she was and I said, the banana cream pie is the best pie.
I'm going to predict that this date did not end successfully for you.
Well, hang on, because I made a point.
It doesn't matter.
She goes, I can't believe you say that. And I said, you know what? I'll agree that Wonder Woman, the movie, was a better movie than Man of Steel, the movie. So,
which is wrong.
In that case, the banana cream pie would be the Wonder Woman of desserts. But I said, if you're tied down on the railroad, and there's a train coming, and I tell you Superman's coming, tell me you're not feeling pretty good about your prospects. But if I tell you Wonder Woman's on her way, tell me there's not a part of you that's hoping she makes it in time. Do you know what I'm saying? She's just not Superman, dude. Queen Maeve's just not, like, I don't know.
I feel like, which
a long
which
way of agreeing with you, Mark.
Queen Maeve is just a character that, like, she knows how the system works. And she's grown up in the system, and she's over it, but she also can't leave it. You know,
it's the woman that has power, but feels like her male like peers are just over her, or everyone still feels like they're above her because she's a woman.
She's in an upper management corporate job. She's not the CEO. You know, no. She still has to prove her weight. To every man that she talks to, even though she's
almost number two,
technically better. Yeah, and she's sick of it and whatever, but she does it because that's what she's always done. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of gets to me with her.
But like, Starlight, I like the character. Idealistic. I like the idealist, innocent young girl. But her power is she makes bright light. Like I don't, and it could.
Yeah, what is she a reference to, Chris?
She's more of a reference. You know, some. I don't know her power. Like,
her eyes glow.
She's
just
like the bright eyed. She's the bright eyed, bushy tailed new girl. That's like, oh, I'm in it. And to me, I just felt like it was a direct reflection of what she was as a character. The bright light in the group. The whole new girl who thinks that everything's like rainbows. But no, I don't think she's a direct ripoff of any of the characters like all of the other ones are.
For some reason, I had her pegged as a knockoff of Starfire in the Spider-Man cartoon. Do you remember that?
But
she's not.
Firestar.
Firestar, yes.
The Starfire's in Marvel. I mean, DC. Starfire's in DC. But yeah, keep going. Good.
But it's not. She's not.
I mean, yeah, there's just like...
Firestar's in Marvel, yeah.
There's just a lot of the confusion. Now, what I did like about her backstory was the whole Christian.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a great angle.
That was awesome.
And I love that exchange with her and her mom when she confronted her finally about all that and how that all worked out. You know, and her mom was like, "You should just be happy for what you have." You know, when she finally admitted it. You know, at the very end. I know we're in spoiler mode, right?
Oh, yeah, we're way...
Well, yeah, and I thought that was one of the themes the show explored incredibly well without being too on the nose. I loved that aspect of it.
Yeah, the repentant or, fallen Christian aspect of it coming from big corporate Christianity.
And if I remember right, when she comes clean, she gets some blowback, right? Am I remembering that right?
Well, she gets blowback in the moment from the audience and everything that she's around, but everybody, the rest of the world is like, wow, this girl's being honest. She's actually talking about these things.
Sort of makes her a liability to the company, right?
She's a liability to the company because she's on her own at that point. She can pretty much control her own fate. She's gone off their script.
Right,
and
which
so
they lose control of that, which is more powerful to a corporation. To what's Elizabeth Shue's character's name?
Chris. Chris was hold on, sorry.
Madeline Stillwell.
Madeline Stillwell. Yes. It was more of a threat to her because she's running the company. She doesn't have control over this thing. I mean, they wound up turning it into we just changed her story to, you know, the rebel that wants to do good.
Yeah.
Which partly turns Chase Crawford into a villain, which, you know, pushes his story arc. But which to me, all that underlining makes the show great because you have the stuff on the surface, but they actually delve into sort of black noir, I think. They delve into all these other characters, like deeply. Well,
maybe he's big in season two. We don't know.
He could be.
No,
Black Noir, big in next season. We're not going to say season two. Big in next season.
My guess with Black Noir, they're probably going to have him be, because they could literally cast anybody in that role. So when he pulls off that helmet, it's going to be either some kind of star, somebody, some famous person you're not going to expect to be
now,
in that character.
Now,
there is an actor.
I got a question for that. Now, not the Edward Furlong. I know.
Yeah.
You know, you're of the acting ilk. You know, what if you were Black Noir playing the role of Black Noir? You know, AKA Nathan Mitchell.
He'd be cashing those checks just like everybody else.
And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, but you know, when we take that off, you know, we got this great. You know, we're gonna get what's his face? David Faustino is gonna do it because he thinks it's gonna be funny. You know, how would you feel? You put like 2-3 years of work into like creating like this brooding, emotionless character that you portray, and all of a sudden like Faustino comes in, and just like swipes your job. You know, how do you feel?
I feel like you just described the entirety of my acting career in one simple story, Brad.
He's like, I'm hoping to be that guy facing that.
I'm feeling very vulnerable.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about
it's just none of it's on camera. So
we haven't talked about Huey Campbell. We haven't talked about Jack Quaid's character. And
there's a reason.
What's the reason for that? Is that because it's kind of a weak character?
He is a weak character.
I feel like
that's the biggest thing about this is your hero characters are the weak links. You've created such great villains in this show that your heroes really have a tough time matching up to them.
Well, yeah. To me, I feel like yes, he's more the guy that you relate to as just a regular human being.
Well,
so
yeah.
What would you do with these choices? To me, you follow the story, you make this choice. Would you actually try to the first meeting with Billy Butcher when he's just like, listen, if you want to do something about your girlfriend's death, or you can sit aside. His dad already told him he's a snowflake. He's a wet blanket. So what would you choose?
But also, when episode two when he fell for Starfire or whatever her fucking name is.
Starlight. Yeah. I mean.
You know, he had just 2 weeks prior, like seeing his girlfriend like just ripped to shreds.
Well, it was like a month or so later.
Yeah, he still has like visions of her. He's got some. But here's the thing:
that was one of my big problems. It's like, wait, what the fuck?
No, I would have made that same move.
Yeah, of course you would.
Move on.
So, but here's the thing, right? I went into the show with an idea that okay, these people are the boys, right? The heroes. Are going to take down superheroes, right? They're going to have an idea. They're going to know what they're doing. And they're really just a bunch of fuck ups who really have no idea what they're doing in the whole system. They're just trying to figure it out. And they're not even very successful at what they're trying to do at their goal, right? They kill one guy. They sort of get an idea of something that's happening on the back end with the Compound V, but they never really get into Voight. They never get into the bigger picture of stuff. They
have to wait for season two for.
At the end of it, you know, they think they know about why they're making, you know, why they're making the villains, the supervillains, and they're calling newspaper writers and editors, and they can't even get a story published. But yet they can just go to the CIA, get the CIA involved, and then that gets pulled out from under them. Like, they're complete fuck-ups in terms of what they're really trying to do, which I think is one of the failings of the show, is like, okay, they're really, really weak. They shouldn't be that weak, especially if they're doing
this. I get what you're saying. There's no way that they'd be able to do any of this or get anywhere close to these people
as
weak as they are.
I wouldn't say Exactly, there's no way they would be able to do it. But the thing is, the only reason they were able to do it is out of luck. Meaning, this is the perfect situation for them to get as far as they did.
Yeah, I mean, Huey gets
So,
through to
yeah.
Stretchy Preachy Man with Moxie and basically fakes his way through the whole thing and somehow doesn't
Right.
die. And it's like
Yeah, where
that he'd be dead
it
in a
could
real situation like that.
85% chance he would probably got his neck snapped.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well,
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking too,
A
and they
train,
would
A
easily
train would
cover
have
that up.
ran through him. Yeah.
Yeah.
In
No, I mean,
Sketch.
that's one of the things about the show, just in general. Like when Homelander finds out about them, why wouldn't he just go and crush their heads and be done with it?
So I
That's
Yeah, why doesn't he do
that's
that?
hold
Like,
on. I think that they actually
it
set
really
up the
doesn't move the plot
Homelander
forward if
twist
that
at the
happens.
end. Yeah, I mean, you're right about that, Bryce, right? That's the ultimate reason. But I think also, that's why there's no eagles that come and save them, right? And just fly them. They don't fly them up to destroy the ring because that would be easy.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the thing, right? The way they treated the Homelander and, we are full in spoiler mode, right? And his kid and having the conflicting stories and not having all of that happen on screen, I think was really good way to drag out and kind of say, here's why Homelander just doesn't go and destroy them, because he actually does realize that they're not the enemy in all of this. Like, yeah, they're trying to take them down, but they're an insignificant little fly, and his bigger concern is
Yeah.
being controlled by Voight. So,
Yeah, that's a really good point, Mark. Yeah.
Yes.
yeah, it's
Yeah.
just the
Yeah.
ending.
No.
Ending hit a
Yeah.
little too close to home for me.
What? Oh.
Is this because you had
Oh, did
been
you?
I
Did you
mean,
find
raised as
out
a foster child
some ex of yours has had a baby
with your
with
eyes closed?
Homelander?
The last shot of that show came up and I was like, been there, done that.
Hey, I want to say, did anyone guess that ending?
No, and that's another
No.
tribute to the showrunner or whoever made that choice, is that's a deviation from the comic as well. Comic doesn't do that.
I don't know if I necessarily guessed the ending, but I was expecting some kind of trick play, I guess.
Well, it's because you're intelligent and you get how this works. But
yeah.
yeah,
And you're
I think
always
it
looking
was.
for it, but
No,
yeah.
no, no.
Yeah.
Say that. Say it out loud. You're intelligent and you
Yeah.
know how this works.
All right,
Sometimes you
Eddie.
just need
Eddie.
a MacGuffin,
Oh my
okay?
God, Aaron Eagle.
Yeah, no, no, actually, I want to talk about that real quick.
We want a
The
MacGuffin and
well,
a MacGuffin and another MacGuffin and a MacGuffin, and then we're gonna
okay,
be on
dropout. What do
with
you got to say?
one
No,
sausage
I
and
want to say
egg
about that. The
McMuffin.
A train character. They set up the whole heart attack. They set up the whole like these drugs can hurt you. And
Yeah.
then it just perfectly happens right before he's about to kill, which he
I
should have
mean,
did in
that's a total
episode two.
MacGuffin, right? It's a total,
Well,
yeah.
but it's like what you said. It's just like they wouldn't get this far without just perfect situations. And I feel like that's what some movies have. But if you have just too many of them,
Yeah.
it
it's like
starts
a
it
it's like
starts
a
to get
fast
bait.
and
Yeah.
it's like a Fast and
It
Furious. It's not possible.
pulls you out of the experience. You
Yeah.
know, it's like
But so here's the thing that
you have to
I
be
think you.
convinced. You have to be convinced that you're going to be lied to quite a bit in
Yeah.
order to like get into the story. But once you feel like you've been lied to too much, you stop believing the story.
But
You know, and
here's my
yes.
guess at why that happened, right? In the
Yes.
comics, there is an actual drug form of Compound V, right? It's not pure Compound V. It's
Yeah. Can
some
you
drug
verify
that's
this? Not the
blue.
Edward Furlong
Do you remember what it
comic
is?
I don't remember that
graduate?
actually. I don't remember if that was
Okay, you did not graduate. So the comic book dropout?
associate's degree, associate's degree.
Associates.
The comic book associates.
There can be
No,
two
Chris
dropouts,
is the film school dropouts. He's the library. This is just, Chris, I thought you read it. I'm surprised you didn't.
No, I'm surprised you guys know this much more on The Boys than I did, but yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
that's
some of
definitely
us
not the
prepared
hey,
because we
that's why
thought we were
you
going to
guys
be
are
talking about
guests.
it.
I have a separate computer in front of me, and I've been like fucking pounding the web pages. What are you doing?
Yeah. Bryce looks
Like, I'm
almost
not
exactly
smart.
like
I
any guy
multitask.
trying to predict who you should play as running back in fantasy football. Like,
Marshawn
even the
Lynch.
background is perfect.
I'm questioning whether you two know
Breaking
this.
Bad.
So,
What's up?
So the original Huey Campbell, right? This character that we didn't actually like that much. He's actually based on an actor that's in the movie. Do you guys know who
Simon
that
Pegg.
is? Well, come dude, you're just ruining the whole like quiz show aspect for the other two.
No,
Did you
I
guys know
just.
Simon Pegg was the inspiration?
For Huey?
Yeah.
Oh, did not know.
I mean, his
Did
name, they
not
got the
know.
same fucking name. What the.
No, no. Well, there is his
Oh,
father,
man.
but so his Simon Pegg plays the father, and he's the original like
'Cause he aged out of being
inspiration.
able to
Yeah.
play the Huey character. You look at the Huey character in the comic, he looks just like Simon Pegg.
Once you
Did
play
13 years
Unpump
ago. That's why
Plot,
his
you
cast
never
is
go
there.
back,
Yeah.
okay?
And he actually
That's why
wrote
they
the
cast him.
foreword. He wrote the foreword for one of the series of comic books when they came back. So he was flattered and he was, you know, happy to be in it, I'm sure. So,
Which is
but
why he's the only like legit half A-list person in this cast. Okay.
what? Come
Well,
on.
Carbon. Elizabeth Shue, dude,
Elizabeth
your own
Shue?
favorite character.
Well, I'm gonna say
Adventures in
Elizabeth Shue
Babysitting. She ain't the
C,
A-list.
shame
B
on you.
minus.
She's a
Carla
talent.
plus.
She's a talented actress worth her weight in gold, and she'd be great on any set because she's gonna play her role to the T. But
You
yeah,
know,
I mean,
Elizabeth
just
Shue,
put
if
that
you're
in an
listening to
email.
this, Bryce has a
I liked
script that he'd
Grant,
love
but it
to have
took me a friend. It
you.
took like a
He
friend
might be
giving me a
dealing with.
physical DVD to see that movie because that's the only way I could see it. And that thing came out
Which
like 2 years ago.
one?
What are we talking about?
Dredd, Carl Urban, Dredd.
Oh, Dredd. Oh, you know,
Yeah.
Carl Urban is in Star Trek.
What are you talking about? Scotty.
It's 6 degrees of
Yes.
Kevin Bacon. So Carl Urban is in Star Trek with
Yes.
Chris
All right.
Pine,
And both Simon and Simon,
who's
so is Simon
with
Pegg by at that matter
Yeah.
too, yeah.
Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water, and Jeff Bridges.
Well, now you're just saying names.
I'm trying to connect. Oh, I thought, are we not trying to connect
Trying to connect everybody together. No, I mean,
to Kevin Bacon?
so here's the other thing that really got me involved in the Kripke universe, which is there's all of these characters that are actors and characters that have occurred in each of the little different Kripke storylines. So Jim Beaver was the big clue at the end. He's playing Secretary Defense Robert Singer at the very end. So that character, Bobby Singer, is in Supernatural, and Bobby Singer is a producer on Supernatural, which is interesting.
It's not unlike the days of a fabled organization called Velocity Entertainment,
Where we had the
where
same actors and characters and
characters and
everything. Yeah.
actors would
Just,
often
it's
sprinkle
like, you know,
throughout.
old
Yes,
school
a lot
Hollywood.
like Wes
Old
Anderson.
school Hollywood films too. They just all
Yeah, I
kind
mean
of
Wes Anderson kind of copied it from the esteemed
Yeah.
Velocity Entertainment.
A lot of people, that's a
Oh yeah,
major
definitely.
criticism of Wes Anderson. He kind of ripped off Velocity by
No,
reusing at the same time.
that is
That
a
was kind
major
of their
criticism
deal.
of Wes Anderson. I hear that all the time from USC.
So I
Yeah.
updated Wikipedia's page on Velocity Entertainment to reflect
A
that.
lawsuit.
Just waiting to happen.
Well,
All right. Have we discussed what's
I
next
wanted to
for the
say this
deep
movie, you know,
and
this
the rest
TV
of the
show is
seven?
like produced by Seth Rogen's company.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Why isn't Seth Rogen
Poofsky.
guesting on here? Like, where? Why? Yeah,
Because
you know Seth
he was in the
Rogen.
Green Hornet. He wants to be successful. But a lot of
That's right.
the jokes and stuff and the comedy just felt very, I guess, Seth Rogen-ish in a sense. Where that's why he
So are
was
you
so much
saying,
that's
Seth?
why he was
Are
so
you saying
fine
they
with playing
felt?
with like blood, you know, when she get burst when Robin gets burst and there's just blood all over the place to me, and it's just, I mean, it's this gruesome moment, but it's kind of comedic because it's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
but that
You laughed at that, Chris?
I laughed the second time it happens because I'm like, this
because
guy keeps
I
getting
was still
slashed with
figuring what
body
happened.
parts.
Like, what the hell? But
While
then
you
she's
were
like,
giggling about it,
here's the
arms in his
thing.
hand.
Here's the thing I want to end on, because I think you're bringing up, right? There's some gallows humor in this that's kind of like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
And we'll go back to the sex scene because that's fucking weird with, you know, the deep. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting or weird was the way that they treated the kind of like hanger-on comic universe to the point where you've got Billy Zane showing up a couple of times Tara Reid. You've got the Comic-Con, you know, groupings of people. You got, and it becomes the plot point, right? With Haley Joel Osment and that character. What was it? Whatever his name was. Right.
Oh yes, Mesmer.
Mesmer. Right. Exactly. Yeah, he's got Mesmer as this, like, he's trying to get back in and get something bigger, and he, you know, works his way in. I thought that was kind of interesting that they treated the comic book, the Comic-Con things as kind of this, like, laughing stock.
Yes.
Filler.
Yeah.
I thought that was,
and the fact that there's real superheroes there at this thing, and it's still kind of, you know, played as a joke. But there's actually, if there's real superheroes at Comic-Con right now, all the guys would be juicing. I mean, I
don't know. Some of these
there.
Cosplays are getting pretty impressive, too, man.
Yeah, I've seen some Iron Man outfits, days, you know? Dude.
Yeah, but he's not flying out of there, right? He's not shaking your hand.
Give it a couple more
your
years.
Life story. Give it a couple more years.
Dude, I dug it, but I got to tell you, man, if you go back for a reason, I'm going to grade it this way. First time through, I gave that thing a B+. And second time through, still going to pass, but it's in a C category for me.
Wow.
I don't think the board's going to
age. Doesn't hold up. Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think it's a B. I think it's good summer fare. I think if you want something that you can watch and enjoy and not feel like you need to be religiously attached to it, like say some other shows, you know, where like you're like, oh my god, it's Sunday night, I gotta be here, you know, I think that's good. But I also think that it ultimately is missable. It plays a lot of like tropes with like the blood factor and stuff like that you mentioned, you know, like as humor. It's like, yeah, you know, like Tarantino did that like 20 years ago, you know, like it's
plenty of people have done that, so it's not.
Yeah,
like,
you know, Roger Corman did it the best. You know, it's like you just kind of let it. The campiness is fun for one playthrough. When season two comes out, yeah, I'll just check the recaps again. I don't know if I could sit through season one. Yes, no, there's okay. Some shows that you can go back to and look at the nuance of everything and all the character development and watch it several times and be amazed. This is one that's like, oh, it's really fun to see it for the first time, but, you know, the scene's been played. It's done. The joke's been played. You know, it's like, yeah. All right,
well,
this is good. Take me to the next one.
I'll go, then you wrap up. I think that it's definitely worth the time to watch through one time. It's entertaining. It's, you know, 8 hours of episodes. It's not a huge commitment. It's not like Westworld where you're jumping in at season two and you got 24 hours of catching up to do. It's good. I'm waiting for season two. I expect season two will be kind of interesting, but it's not the most awesome thing ever. Don't get this wrong. But it's worth time to see.
I mean, and I'll say this because I've watched the series twice, and no, I mean, I'll say I liked it a little better when I watched it the second time because I actually did see a lot more of the character development and the nuances. I did see that there was a lot more put into like these characters and how they were built, more so than just like some superheroes that, hey, we're just fuck ups and we can just do whatever and everything's a joke. It's like these characters are deeper. Overall, I did like it, but if you were dealing with these people like this, you would have been dead episode 3. Even when you put yourself in their world, I still don't believe it would be realistic. We wouldn't have a season 2. They'd be dead. But overall, I do like the show, yeah. Because we'll come back with something else next time. This is Chris, the Film School Dropout, with Mark Bryce and Furlong, Mr. Edward Furlong.
Who's gone.
And we will be...
Just left the call.
And so until next time, guys, you know, check out The Boys. If you don't check it out, I guess it's your own damn fault, right? Mm-hmm. So check it out. I want to thank my guests for being here, too.
Thank you, sir.
Next time, maybe the Thought Junkie and maybe the...
Thank you. Yeah, well, hold on. Real quick, I'll do a thank you from Adam, so that way he can have his thank you, too. Thank you.
That's relatively close.
It's Mean Machine, that? Yeah.
Or the mask.
Yes. It's Mean Machine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys, I'm signing out. Cape C Free. Check us out next time. Holla.